Good morning. I don't know why I haven't been felt like this either other times I've spoke. You know those crazy people that jump off the bridge up in Fayetteville, the New River Gorge Bridge? Well, right before they jump off, I think is the way I feel right now. But I'm going to get over that. Today, we're not going to talk about chocolate-covered cherries. We're not going to talk about people that have nice tans that have been in the sun and are rested. We're not going to talk about COVID. We're not going to talk about politics. That's a two-part word, by the way, politics. Maybe we'll talk about it in just a second. Poly means more than one, multiple, and ticks means blood-sucking creatures. So, that's okay. I think you got that. But seriously, pray with me briefly. Father, it is an awesome, awesome thing to be the instrument to deliver your word to your people. Speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What we are going to talk about today, I'm going to leave you, I hope, with more questions than answers today. Seriously. And I hope that you will have a desire to seek those answers partly on your own. Okay, yeah. And everybody take one of those. Thank you, Gordon and Sam. This is a rare opportunity you have to take something out of the offering plate instead of putting something in. Did we get any money, guys? But I want to ask, I'll start out with a question. Y'all keep those little cards. You're going to need them. It's going to help with this whole thing. I want to ask you a question to start out with. How well do you know your Creator? You were created, you know. All the theories and discussions about, you know, our origins boil down to only two alternatives. There is a God who created everything, or there is no God and everything created itself. Well, I'm going to go with the first scenario. And I'll refer you to... I don't have to do that. I can just do that. I'll refer you to Psalm 14:1 and 43:1. God said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And he mentioned it twice, by the way, so we'd get it. So we wouldn't miss it. If you want a good defining picture of a fool, read Proverbs 26:1-11. I'm not going to read the full thing today. The takeaway from Proverbs 26 is verse 12. And in verse 12, Proverbs 26 verse 12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him." For this discussion today, we're going to do what it says in Proverbs 26:4-5. "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes." God inspired some 49 different individuals on three continents over a period of 1,700 years to write 66 books that came together to form a perfect book that God had intended. It's called the Bible, by the way. It contains history, starting at the very beginning, science, wisdom, poetry, drama, heroism, examples of sin and evil. It contains examples of trust and faith, and the ultimate love story is contained in the Bible. Ultimately, this is God's love letter to us. We will get to know God and love God by what He's written here. Speaking of love letters, there are accounts of servicemen and I'm talking about in World War II, corresponding via written letter with a girl back home that they had never met face to face. These couples got to know each other and fell in love through the letters they wrote back and forth over the period of the war. In some of these cases, when the servicemen returned home, they married the girl they had been corresponding with and fell in love with. We will know God and love God by reading the love letter He has written to us. When we as human beings desire a relationship with another person, whether for purposes of friendship, the relationships that we have in here, marriage especially, we want to learn that person's likes and dislikes, their interests, their hobbies, skills, plans, hopes, dreams. We want to share their lives by doing things together related to their likes and interests. We want to get to know them. How do we get to know them? We spend time with them. We talk with them and listen to what they have to say. We become students of who they are, of how they respond, verbally or non-verbally, to what we say and do. We are students of their favorite foods, movies, sports, games, activities, subjects of interest. We learn what they are doing, have done, and want to do in their lives. We want to learn what pleases them, or at least we should, if we have an unselfish interest in having an honest relationship with them. We will learn to trust them. We will learn to have faith in them. I can't look at the love of my life during this because it has an effect on me. She helped me with this, by the way. She's the quintessential teacher. Okay, this is very similar. All of this is very similar in our relationship with God. I ask you again, how well do you know your Creator? As followers of Christ, we should have a desire to know God. Moses did, and he was called a friend of God. That's a pretty awesome thing, by the way. Let's look at Exodus 33:13. While I get a drink, my tongue's sticking to the roof of my mouth. I'm gonna read this from I got a MacArthur Study Bible, and I like the way it states things, because in some of your verses you'll see words that are italicized in the different Bibles. Those are words that weren't in the original text, but were put there by the translators to try to help us understand the meaning of the text. But the MacArthur Study Bible does not put those in. All right, I'm in Psalms, so that's not going to help any. Proverbs, and I'll have to do it this way too, smaller print. Exodus 33 and verse 13. And this is Moses as he's speaking to God. And as a friend, Moses spoke to God face to face. Verse 13 says, "Now therefore," this is Moses speaking to God, he says, "if I have found favor in your sight, or if I have pleased you, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." In other words, what Moses is saying there, God, if I've pleased you, let me know who you are. Let me know your ways so that I can please you. I mean, what a heart. He wants to please God, and he wants to know him so he can please God. That's just astounding to me. It overwhelms me a little bit. But I want to focus on this, show me your ways. This is part of knowing our Creator. how are we going to know God's ways? What are God's ways? In Genesis 1:1, we can start right there. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's a pretty big statement when you think about it. And then if you look down in Genesis 1:16, God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made is italicized, and it just says the stars also. What? The stars also. That's another thing that just kind of blows me away. I want to have a little fun here and discuss some of God's ways to create, related to his act of creation. But first, we're going to need a little perspective. If you take that card, you'll see on there a BB. If you don't see the BB, turn the card over. If you still don't see a BB, let me know. I've got some more up here. I'll give you one. But the BB will be used later on also. But if we take, if I line up in a row 10 of those BBs, and then I take 9 more rows and line them up beside that so that I have BBs lined up in a square, 10 BBs by 10 BBs, that's 100 BBs in that flat. If I take 9 more of those flats and stack them on top, stacking BBs, that's funny. Well, it was to me anyway. If I took 3 BBs and stacked them up and put little legs and little arms and drew a little face on it, would that be a BB doll? I said I wasn't going to do that, but I did anyway. So anyway, back to reality. 10 by 10, 10 high, you've got 10 by 10 is 100, times 10 is 1,000, right? In this volume right here, you can get 1,000 BBs. Okay. Now, if I take 10 of those by 10 by 10 high, let me move on here. Yeah. That's, if I take, got 1,000 BBs, and if I go 10 of these, 10 high, that's 1,000 of these. That's 1,000 times 1,000 BBs, and that equals 1 million. Some of us in here could have told me that. That is this size. So 1,000, I knocked my little thing out there. 1,000, 1 million. We got to go a little bigger than that for the next number up that we need to talk about when we talk about God's creation. All right, we got 1,000 and 1 million, right? The space that I would need to put I was going to build a frame and have it sitting in here, but I figured I'd be excommunicated or something worse. So we would have to have a box that is this wide. Feel in danger here. Is this long and this high. That's what it would take for 1,000 of those. And that would be 1 billion with a B. 1 billion. All right, now, we're trying to get some perspective here. We have 1,000, we have 1 million, we have 1 billion. Now, 1,000 times 1 million is 1 billion. 1,000 times 1 billion is 1 trillion. Now, with that box I tried to get you to see, 1,000 of those, 1 trillion BBs, would fill, I took measurements, I measured twice, and I checked my calculations 4 times. And I've got my calculations, if anybody'd like to check me on it. But to do a trillion BBs, it will fill this sanctuary to the peak, wall to wall to wall to wall to wall, 64 times. That's 1 trillion. 64 times of filling this entire sanctuary with those little BBs. Now, if you can't get your brain around the trillion, I had trouble with it. The people running our government are having all kinds of trouble getting their brain around a trillion, so don't feel bad. All right. That's our perspective. So as we continue this, let's get back to the ways of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want to explore the part of God's created universe where we live, our neighborhood, if you will. That BB, and this is an accurate scale. I spent a lot of time figuring this out and doing the calculations. So it's just not something that I've made up. I did the calculations, and I'll go over it with anybody that wants to. That BB represents our planet, Earth. Our planet Earth is 7,900 and almost 8,000 miles in diameter. At the equator, about 26,000 miles around. But it's in the scale that we're going to use, that BB represents planet Earth. If you can find yourself on there, raise your hand. At that scale, take out the trash here. This is the sun. Can I borrow one of those BBs, Sam, somebody? Thank you. All right. I should have had one up here. My bad. This is the sun. What do you think this is? Right about here. Pardon? This is actually 1 million miles at this scale. 1 million miles. Does anybody in here think they have the position for the orbit of the planet Earth around the sun at this scale? Good answer. Our orbit around the sun, with the Earth this size, the sun this size, is about to Kilgore Road that way, and is down at the end of the center parking in the last parking spot down here, is where the Earth would be this size with the sun this size at this scale. Now, okay, that's that. I got to put it down. It's kind of warm. Our orbital location in the solar system, where we were talking about there, it's called by astronomers the Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. I'd call it the God zone myself because that's where he put us. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. If we were 2% closer to the sun, we're toast. If we're 2% further away from the sun, as Jeremiah would say, and I'm not talking about the prophet, I'm talking about the grandson, we're popspickles. I mean, we're either burned up, 2% closer, and no water could exist on the earth in any form. 2% out, it would be all ice, pretty deep ice. By the way, if you're one of those folks that think this all just happened, you better grab hold of something, because on this planet right now, we're hurling through space at 66,000 miles an hour, and nobody's at the helm. The reality is that God's in control, and we can be very, very thankful for that. I guess you can imagine. The distance from the sun to the earth is 93 million miles, and that's at our scale. Our solar system, the distance from our sun to the earth, from the sun to the earth, is what they call one astronomical unit, which is an AU. our solar system is 79 AUs in diameter. At that scale, the orbit of Pluto, are you familiar with Pluto? I think it's been downgraded from a planet to a planetoid, but who really cares? They make all that stuff up anyway. But the position of Pluto would be down around Dead Man's Curve somewhere at this scale. What I'm trying to do is give you a picture of the awesome vastness of God's creation. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork." Don't get me wrong here, but in my mind, the Bible is understatement, major understatement. When something like this is stated, or the stars also, I mean, really, the heavens declare the glory of God. And that's really why they're there, so that we will know, we will be able to see who the God is that we serve. Some of the ideas that I want to present here, I want to kind of give credit. I don't know that anything's originally my idea, but I want to give credit to a guy by the name of Lou Giglio. And I would encourage you to look him up on the on YouTube or something like that. I don't Google Lou Giglio. And he has, he's a unique individual, and he's pretty fired up about this type of thing. Our solar system is located in the Milky Way galaxy. This is the Milky Way as we can see it from our location on Earth, but at an ideal location in Earth. And you can see how there is a more concentrated area of stars in a band across, kind of diagonal across there. And our galaxy is understood to be a spiral arm galaxy that's kind of flat and wide. And when what we're seeing there is, instead of looking out into space where there's lesser stars, we're looking out through the spiral arms so we can see a higher concentration of stars. If our solar system were the size of our solar system, that 79 AU diameter, 79 times the distance from the sun, if that were the size of a quarter, our galaxy would be the size of the United States of America. That's comparatively speaking. And our God spoke that into existence. This is an artist rendering. Nobody's ever been out that far. Nobody's ever been out of the galaxy. But from outside the galaxy, this is an artist rendering of what our galaxy might look like, the galaxy that we live in, that God created for us, from out away looking back. This is another artist's impression, again, based on latest data, telescopes, and simulations of what our galaxy might look like from above and outside at a great distance. Let's see. Our sun, theoretically, this is the location of our solar system right here. I do. Where do I have one? Really? Well, ain't that special? Oh, my. You know, I've got a 9mm with a laser sight, and I thought about bringing it in here and using it, but I didn't figure that would go over at all. But my wife is, God provides and uses my wife to do it. Right there, that little circle, not jerking around like the laser, is the theoretical position of our solar system in the Milky Way galaxy. And it was thought to be a very boring, insignificant location in the solar system. But as it turns out, this is the perfect location away from the far more dangerous regions of the universe. More active, more dangerous. Also, there's protection there from comets and meteors. You know, again, it almost seems like God knew what he was doing. It's amazing. One more thing. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. That means that if you could travel the speed of light, you could cross our country 66 times in 1 second. You could go around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. At that speed, though, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 100,000 years to go from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. That's why I wanted to kind of put in our head 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000. I don't know what to say about God's numbers. And just the awesome, unbelievable size. And I'm just talking about the galaxy, this one galaxy. Our Creator spoke that into existence. This is a photograph of a very large star in our galaxy that astronomers have named Betelgeuse. God has named all the stars, it says in His Word, and I'll bet He did a lot better job than that. Betelgeuse? Whatever. There's the star. It's 640 light years from Earth and over 1,000 times the size of our sun. If it were placed at the center of our solar system at this scale, its diameter, well, not at this scale. Yeah, its diameter would be about the orbit of Mars, which is out beyond our orbit. On our scale, it would take out the houses of both the Armentrouts and the Vanatters. Sorry, guys. It would go that far. Move on here. This is a photograph of one of the largest known stars, given the name VY Canis Majoris. Canis, canine, dog. Majoris, major, big. So I guess this is the big dog star. It is one of the biggest. It's not, I don't think it's, they keep finding, I don't know if it's a competition among the astronomers or not, but they keep finding bigger stuff. But with the Hubble telescope, they're able to see out further and further and further. It ought to bring them all to their knees. It ought to bring them all to the knowledge of Almighty God and Jesus Christ. This star is estimated to be over 2,000 times the size of our sun, roughly 3,900 light years from Earth. If it were placed in the center of our solar system, its diameter would be the orbit of Saturn. On our scale, its diameter would be more than half a mile. That gets a ways up and down Rocky Step here at our scale. These stars are located in our Milky Way galaxy along with an estimated 100 billion to 400 billion other stars. If you can see our numbers here, I can't quite get a hold of that. The number of galaxies in the universe. There are some a lot bigger than ours. Where am I here? Okay. The number of galaxies in our universe that our God, Creator God, spoke into existence was thought to be about 100 billion to 200 billion total stars in the universe, or total number of galaxies in the universe. But now it is believed to be 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. The Milky Way galaxy that we live in, 100,000 light years across. There is the Hercules A galaxy that they find that is 1.5 million light years across. Current estimate of the number of stars that our Creator spoke into existence in the universe, total number of stars, is estimated to be 200 billion trillion. I don't even know what that number means. But that is the ways of God. That's why the heavens declare the glory of His handiwork. There are measurements in the Bible. We talk about the measurement that Noah used to build the ark, a cubit. That is from the fingertip to the elbow. There's also another measurement called a span. That's from finger to thumb. That's a span. Scripture tells us that God measures the universe in a span. How do we get to know our Creator? Spend time with God. We spend time with Him by reading and studying His Word. That love letter, He put so much time and effort into writing to us. We talk with God and listen to what He says. No, I don't think you'll hear God speak audibly. What I mean is talking to Him by praying. He wants that of us. And listening to what He has to say in His Word. Humble yourself and watch carefully for His hand. Am I making a noise? Watch carefully for His... I'll try to hold still. Maybe I'm running my mouth too much. Watch carefully for His hand in your daily circumstances. You will see... And participate in group study and discussion with other believers. Iron sharpens iron. Right, Tom? Your eyes will be opened more and more to the little miracles that happen around you every day. And I heard about several, if you think about it, miracles. I tell you, it's absolutely a miracle that Bruce went to Scotland with those two girls. I'm not going to think of it any other way. And I'll bet that he's back and thought about it, and he probably thinks it's a miracle too. There were a couple other miracles that I heard mentioned here this morning. God works miracles around us on a daily basis. I thought about getting into the human body, and we're not going to have time for that, but I thought about getting into it, but I didn't even write it down here. How much blood the heart pumps in a lifetime would absolutely astound you. The ways of God. We're still talking about how we get to know our Creator. What are some of the things that God loves? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. No, I'm not looking for money. And I'm not just talking about money. When you give, when you're in discussion, that great discussion that Keith led in here on Wednesday night, and if we're in here on Wednesday, sorry about your luck. It was great discussion on Wednesday, and it was somewhat spirited discussion. But we're giving to each other in those discussions. We're sharing our experiences in life and the knowledge that God has given us through those experiences. John 16:27 says, "For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me," that's Jesus, "and have believed that I came forth from the Father." And then there's the ultimate, John 3:16. God loved us enough to come here, take on flesh, you know the story, die a horrible death to pay what we couldn't pay. He loves us. As we're talking about getting to know our Creator, what does God hate? Can you ever imagine God would hate anything? Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to Him. Abomination literally means to make sick. So these things, seven of these things make God sick. Haughty eyes, that is a proud look, pride. A lying tongue, well, we know what that is. Hands that shed innocent blood, we're familiar with that, aren't we? A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. This last verse has come home to me recently, and we'll leave it at that. There's a lot to unpack here. I mean, if you went home and just looked at that verse and thought about that, that would be enough to last you the week. What is the desire of God's heart? I mean, when we talk about getting to know the love of our life, for instance, what is their heart's desire? We would want to fulfill that if we possibly could. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants us to know the truth. What does God want from us? Micah 6:8. "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." There's another week right there. Now, I know that I'm skipping around and I'm just skimming the surface here, but keep in mind, we're trying to take a look at how to get to know God. What pleases God? Luke 3:21-22 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" I find it unique that God didn't say, "I'm proud of him." He was pleased. He was well pleased. God doesn't use proud or pride in any other form that I can see than a negative form. I think pride, if we were to go back to Proverbs 6:16, we would see that pride may well be the greatest sin. I know there's a lot of people that say God doesn't rank sins. I'm not so sure about that. I'd like to discuss that with anybody that'd be willing. But he didn't say he was proud. He said he was well pleased. And my gracious, this was the sinless Lamb of God. If there was anybody that God could be pleased with, it would be Jesus. Also, Hebrews 11:6. It says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God." Which kind of, if you turn that around, means with faith, it is possible to please God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is." You know, that says, we talked about those other people earlier. "And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." I mean, take that kind of deep. First off, God is the creator of all the universe. He spoke it into existence. But he's kind of turned it around there and says he's going to reward us for seeking him. I think that's just awesome. Should we have a desire to please God? I'm going to take you back to Exodus 13, almost where we started. "Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight." What would it be to be called a friend of God? And you can't be a friend to someone you do not know. Let me leave you with this thought from Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 19. I'm going to read it out of the Bible so I don't have to turn around. No, I'm going to turn around. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not. This is Paul writing to the letter to the Ephesians, by the way, the Apostle Paul. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, learning that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What is God's plan for your life? What does He want you to do? What does He desire of you as an individual and me? I hope you realize that any time I've pointed one finger at you guys, I got three pointing back at me. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe. Now, we're talking about a God who spoke into existence a universe that the smallest portion of it we can't even comprehend, can't begin to comprehend. But we know He did it. We know it's there. We know it took tremendous power to do that. And that power is available to us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that today there has not been a whole lot of me and way more of you. And Father, I pray that there will be a desire here to get to know you, our Creator, our God, our Savior, our hope. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you'll do with the word spoken. And thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.